quite know what to do, and you don't know where to end. Because this is just what it's like to step into a moment that the Holy Spirit wants to completely orchestrate on our behalf. Amen? But let's do it the old-fashioned way. And let's start in the Word. Turn your Bible to the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. This won't take long. This is one of my life passages. One of my very favorite passages in the whole Bible. My poor wife has sat through about 4,000 of these. Pray for her. Isaiah 66, you don't have to turn there, but God asked a question. He makes a statement. He said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. But then he asked a question, where is the house you will build for me? Now, how many of you know God doesn't need a house? Never has. The earth and all that's in it belongs to him. The gold and silver belongs to him. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. He doesn't need a house. But he asked a rhetorical question of you and of me. Where is the house you are building for me? Where is your priority? Where is your motivation? And we spend a lot of time building our own houses. HGTV. Flip this house. Burn this house down. I mean, what? Chip and Joanna Gaines. Cross yourself when you say that. I mean, we love building. We're building people. But the question is, for whom are we building? Life comes down less to the thing that we do than the motivation behind why we do it. Your children can do some stupid things. Smile when you say that. Mommy, I'm going to help you with the laundry. And then pours half a gallon of bleach in your colored clothes. And yet, there's no anger. There's no frustration. Why? Because the child's motivation was to do what? Was to help. How many of you know God doesn't need your help? Doesn't need your labor? Doesn't need your money? He was able to create all of this without any of us, without our counsel, without our faith, without our tithe. But he asks us, where is the house you will build for me? And we find this story over in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. A Shunammite. The Bible says she was a well-to-do woman. And in this part of the world, when someone was traveling, we didn't have a Marriott property or a Hilton property, is that it was a custom that you would open your home to strangers. And this man of God would come by here on occasion and they would house him, she and her husband. But she recognized something different about this man. She said, I know that he's a holy man of God. So let's make a small room on the roof. And I love the detail of scripture here. And put in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And then he can stay here whenever he comes to us. In that part of the world, building a room on top of the house would have been considered the prime spot, because that would have been the room that would have caught the breeze. Would have been the most comfortable spot. And this dear woman is going to some trouble, some detail, This is why the Bible is so specific as to the furnishings in a simple room for this man. And on one occasion, Elisha comes through. He's laying down, big iced tea. Gehazi, his servant, is there. And he said to his servant, call her. And she stood there and he said, listen, you've gone to a lot of trouble for us. What can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She says, I've got a home among my own people. In short, she waved him off. Thank you, but no thank you. But then the story continues in verse 14. And Elisha asked Gehazi, what can be done for her? Now, this is the prophet Elisha. A double portion anointing of what Elijah had. But yet in this particular case, it's strongly inferred from Scripture that the deepest need in this woman's life was hidden from the prophet. Gehazi says she has no son and her husband is old. In other words, there's no one to inherit. There's no one to care for them in their old age. He said, bring her to me. He called her and she stood in the doorway. Now you want to hear a prophecy? Here's a prophecy. About this time next year, you'll hold a son in your arms. Now that's a prophecy. I mean, whatever fertility problems this dear lady had, her husband's, I mean, it's pretty evident that she is beyond childbearing age. But not only do we, is her womb now opened, but we have a time frame and we have the gender of the child. I mean, that's impressive. And what was her response? Rather than, yeah, thank you, hallelujah, woo! Here's her response. He says, don't mislead your servant. But. The woman became pregnant. And the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha told her. Wow. You know what this all started with? Building a room. Making space is where the miracle started. The remarkable thing about this woman is that she didn't build that room thinking, I wonder if I do something for the man of God, if he might do a little something, something for me. There wasn't this transactional, you know, I really want this thing, and if I do this, then he'll do this. There was none of that in her whatsoever. She had her opportunity to make her request. When the prophet called her the first time, can we do anything for you? Yes, sir. I want a baby. But do you realize that she had buried that desire so deeply through so many years of disappointment? IVF. Ain't gonna happen. Too old. That when God's representative on the earth literally stood in her doorway and said, what can I do for you? She was so heartsick, she didn't even respond. She didn't even ask. Some of you have stopped asking. Listen to me. It's like, why? It ain't gonna happen. I've prayed 70 times seven. I've prayed, I've given, I've believed, I've prayed, I've done all I know what to do. And some of you have stopped asking. And the prophet says, about this time next year, you will hold a son in your arms. And even when the word of the Lord came to her, she said, please, don't get my hopes up. I've been disappointed so many times. I can't even hear good news anymore. without it hurting my heart. Some of you, Jesus has been stepping up to you and saying, what can I do for you? You stopped even telling him anymore. And even when God is coming to do, is doing amazing things in your life, it's hard for you to even celebrate based on the disillusionment and the disappointment that has now become so much a part of your history and your person. She got her baby, but it started with a room. Now, I don't have time to unpack the entire story, but I'll just fast forward a few. Some years later, when the boy was old enough to be with her dad, with his dad, we think maybe 5-6 years old, he's out with the reapers, he's with us, and he grabs his head, gets this tremendous headache, and he does, the dad does what all dads do when their kids are in trouble. Take him to his mother. Dads can't deal with pain. And the child dies. Dies. Some of you, you got your miracle, but your miracle died. She goes and she retrieves the prophet. And what was the first thing she said? Thank you for 5 or 6 great years with this child. No, she jumped up in his face. Didn't I tell you not to get my hopes up? And this is one of these prefiguring pictures in the Old Testament of the ministry of Jesus in the New. And Elisha, very much like he'd seen his mentor do years earlier, the boy got raised from the dead. Amazing. And he brings and the son back to this woman. She says, now I know you're a man of God. Seriously, dude? Really? I mean, we got to go resurrection of the dead before you give any acknowledgement that God might be in this thing a little bit. Some of us are exactly the same way. We've seen God move on our behalf, do miraculous things, press through the impossible, open wounds, open businesses, provide finances, provide a spouse. And then some disillusionment and some setback comes, our dream perhaps even dies temporarily. Let me tell you this, always part of a dream cycle is death. This isn't Disney. Because he's a God of resurrection. But it started with a room. 7 years goes by. This woman and her son have to leave because of famine in the land. And we pick up the story in chapter 8 of 2 Kings. And Gehazi is there and he's talking to the king about all that the prophet has done and begins to tell the story about this woman and her kid. And about that moment, they walk up. Oh, cool. Here they are. Now, because this woman had been gone for so long, obviously her house and her lands had been conscripted. And the king was so moved in that moment, he said, give her land back, plus give her back all of the income that she would have received in the 7 years she's been gone. God moved beyond just conception. Delivery. Resurrection. All the way to restoration and restitution. Let me tell you, when God does something, he puts a period on it. Not a comma, not a semicolon. He puts a period on it. What do you think you've lost? That God somehow, his arm is shortened, that he can't restore to you what has been taken from you. Let me tell you, God is in the restitution business too. But remember, it started with a room. I just want to make place for the man of God. And I'll end with this question. Are we building for God's visitation, or are we building for God's habitation? Listen carefully. God will visit that which he won't inhabit. God had to come visit you in your sinful state. Are you with me? He had to do a lot. Say, woo! Ha! My wife and I will go on vacation, and men only care about where the remote is for the TV. We're good. Refrigerator, ice maker works. Remote. My wife inspects. Goes to the bathroom first. Begins to look. See how they did. Came in one morning or came in one afternoon, and my wife is standing on a chair cleaning the top of the ceiling fan blades. We're on vacation, Pastor Chris. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? She says, it's nasty. I can't stand this. I'm not staying here a whole week with that filth up there. Do we have any ladies here that maybe do the same kind of... I wouldn't have told that if I were you, but that's a whole nother story, brother. You see, if she had just come in and out, it wouldn't have made any difference. But because she was going to make her habitation there for a week, she wasn't staying in the filth. Somebody said, you can come as you are, you just can't stay that way. So are we building for visitation or habitation? I know as a corporate people how you're building. You're building for the habitation of God. Not for the occasional visit. When I have a need, maybe I can get God to somehow check his schedule and see if he can show up. But that God moves in. Amen. Lord, we want to be a people of habitation. Not just visitation. And Lord, we don't want to be building like the builders of that famous tower. Let us build for ourselves. But God, we want to build for you. A place that you feel at home and that you can move in and be comfortable. Lord, we desire this church, yes, to be a place where people are comfortable, but God, more importantly, a place where you are comfortable. Let it be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's see what God has to say to a few people tonight. And then I've got some extreme weirdness. That I want to see how God might do something here tonight. Amen? Let me get off the stage. You'll be weird, but it'll be sanctified. It'll be all right. Pastor Chris just got real nervous, and I don't... The devil messed with the wrong one. I want you to hear this. He messed with the wrong one. He's been trying to mess with you again. And it's not just been in your physical body. He's been messing with your emotions. Been messing with your thought life. And dear, you are all that. Beautiful. People love you. Got this amazing, you know, gregarious, vivacious personality. Sweetie, you've got a real kind of dark streak sometimes. And you can go to some fairly dark places in your thinking. Yet the promise is that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what he's given you. And I want you to hear this. The devil messed with the wrong one. He says, with the comfort we've received, comfort others. He's going to use you to set captives free. You don't see yourself. You don't see yourself as a warrior. That's the last picture that you get looking back in the mirror. You don't see yourself, sometimes even as an overtly spiritual woman. But let me just tell you, God has mapped something out for you that is pretty profound. Be encouraged. Amen. Right here. Your life has been one detour after the next. It's just been amazing. And dear, I met you before the service, and so I got your CV from some of your fans over here. But you know, dear, for everything that, all the doors that God has opened for you and all the detours, it's come at a real cost in your soul. You really feel a bit jostled about. And while everybody else is sort of celebrating the accomplishments and celebrating all of these amazing places where God has put you, you would swap it in. You would trade it all in a heartbeat for some things that are so deep in your heart, just like I shared tonight, that you're almost afraid to ask anymore because you're tired of being disappointed. And there's no correction in that statement. It's just an acknowledgement. But dear, I want you to hear something. Is that there is divine favor on your life. And there's some people that God just says, you know what? I'm going to let them have it all. And you're one of those. I want you to hear this. He says, ask me again. Ask me again. You know, dear, for all the people around you, you can at times, there's this amazing loneliness that you have to combat. And there's this narrative that kind of floats through and just tries to mess with your thinking that says, yeah, but. There's a lot of yeah, but in there. God wants to come and eliminate the but, and it just be yes and amen. Okay? Some things in your family that God is at work in right now. Okay? You can't fix it. You've tried. You know, you can fix a lot of things. Vocationally, professionally. You know how to get in the inner workings. And yet, this one regarding your family has eluded you. And God says it's going to continue to elude you because I want all the credit for it. I want you to hear this. And without relinquishing your faith, your prayers, your love, your compassion, God says, if you'll take your hands off, I'll put my hands on in a greater way. And I sense God about to put his hands in the midst of some situations with your family, that he's going to fix some things that seem unfixable. Amen. You're a remarkable woman. Ask again. Amen. Hi. You haven't missed anything. You haven't missed anything. You know, dear, you've got such a tender heart. You've always been one that you could cry at a puppy dog movie. I mean, it's just you've always the tears are easy for you, okay? Your brother's like, seriously? But it's important that you hear that you haven't missed a stop. You haven't missed a word. You haven't missed a turn.